At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. And today joining us on the program, we are honored to have Todd Gray, Executive Director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. Todd, welcome to the program.
Hi, Richard. Thank you. Appreciate you and your ongoing good work.
Yeah, well, thank you. As you know, Todd, and many of the listeners and viewers know, religious freedom is a pillar of society. It's a pillar that Commonwealth Policy Center has been working to shore up. And yet there's so much misunderstanding regarding religious freedom, especially in the context of Sunrise Children's Services. And we're going to talk about Sunrise on the program today and the state's refusal to renew the contract, or more specifically, to add a religious freedom exemption for Sunrise Children's Services to continue to do business with the state. Todd, I just want to camp out on this just for a moment on the topic of religious freedom. I think it's misunderstood. Maybe it's something that we've taken for granted, but religious freedom is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And I think sometimes, Todd, and tell me, you know, how you're thinking through this. Sometimes we think that religious freedom just means the ability to worship on Sunday mornings. Is that the perception or the sense that you get from, you're speaking in churches regularly across the state. What's your sense of how we interpret inside the churches, how we interpret religious freedom?
Yeah, I don't think any pastor I know or church member carries that very narrow view of religious freedom. It includes having the rights to operate a church according to your religious convictions, operating a ministry, a Christian ministry according to your deeply held religious beliefs, and not being impeded upon by the government in doing that. Richard, this has become, I guess, a big hot topic since the pandemic and government regulations regarding worship services. I work with Kentucky Baptist Churches. That's our group, 2,360 churches, about 600,000 people in Kentucky identify as Kentucky Baptists. And I found Kentucky Baptists worked really hard to be good citizens during the pandemic. The pastors did all they could to be fair-minded, helpful, supportive. But at some point, it reached a place where I think some felt like their religious freedoms were being trampled upon, or at least neglected, or at least disregarded, given the best treatment of it. So, yeah, much more than where and how you worship on Sunday morning, it's how you live your life on Monday through Sunday. And all followers of Jesus, Sunday morning's part of the experience, but that's kind of the refueling station for carrying out your walk with God through the week.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's our ability to live out the faith Monday through Saturday. It's all 7 days of the week, but we forget that it's the ability to live our lives according to our convictions and our conscience. So Todd, Sunrise Children's Services has had an exemption in past years with the Commonwealth of Kentucky regarding religious freedom exemptions. However, when the Beshear administration sent this year's or the latest contract back to Sunrise, they did not have that exemption in there, did they?
No, they didn't. And Sunrise has been able to work with every administration in recent years. And Richard, you know, I mean, just being fair-minded, common sense kind of thinking, I think I've seen reports from your organization that Kentucky leads the way in child abuse. Is that correct?
That is correct. The latest report indicates that Kentucky has the highest rate of child abuse and neglect cases in the country.
So here's the state. Here's a state number one in child abuse. Man, I would think you would be looking for every available helpful organization, especially those that have a stellar reputation like Sunrise does. Sunrise was recognized on the House floor, I think, on its 150th anniversary there in Frankfort. And so to me, it just doesn't even make sense that you would want to exclude or discriminate against a group like Sunrise just because there are some religious convictions that motivate who they work with in their foster care. No discrimination is ever practiced against a child, regardless of their views, how they identify. But as you know, Del Suttles has said publicly, frequently, president of Sunrise, that there are some couples or individuals who would want to foster that will just not be that Sunrise will not be the best fit for them. So when those individuals or couples make a request for fostering through Sunrise, Sunrise will bend over backwards, helping them find a good organization to work with them. So yeah, the contract is not being renewed, at least not yet. We still hope that our governor would keep an open door and be willing to ask his cabinet to talk with Sunrise and reach a good agreement.
Yeah. Todd, you bring up several good points. One is about the convictions of Sunrise. They are not turning away children who identify or have whatever issues they might have. They are open to working with all children, trying to minister to their needs, find foster parents or adoptive homes for them as well. But really the issue at stake is whether Sunrise is going to be forced to violate their convictions as far as where they place these children. It is really not just a Baptist belief, but Orthodox Christianity believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, and also that God gives us moral guidelines for how we ought to live our lives, and especially regarding human sexuality. And Sunrise does not believe it is best for children to place them in foster or adoptive homes where there are same-sex parents. By the way, I'm sure that that's not the only stipulation, the only thing that would nullify them placing children in a certain home. I can think of a number of other reasons. Parents, in order to be foster parents, have to have a number of things. Essentially, they've got to have a number of things in order for Sunrise to consider them placing the child.
That's correct. I've been through their training. My wife and I went through Sunrise foster parenting training a couple of years ago. It's very involved. It required a great deal of time and energy. And when we got through, we felt like in our current season of life that fostering was that we weren't going to be as helpful as we could for a child. But having been through their training, man, it's thorough. They want the best parents that they can get. There was a single lady who was going through the training as well. They just want the best homes available for these neglected and abused and often mistreated children. So, you know, Richard, Sunrise in its work with the state, so you mentioned 150 plus years they've been in this business. Some ladies at Walnut Street Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky had a burden for orphan ministry, and that became what was known as Kentucky Baptist Homes for Children. Is now under the heading of Sunrise, and they care for some of the most traumatized children in the state of Kentucky. In fact, our Commonwealth has sent them some children that others just can't even handle or receive. So they've been an outstanding partner to the state, and to not be considered this at this time is really mind blowing.
So currently, Todd, the latest numbers I have is that Sunrise Children's Services provides care for close to 1,000 kids in Kentucky and their family members as well. And this includes foster care, therapeutic residential services, psychiatric residential treatment services, family services, and an independent living program for kids and families in crisis. Sunrise has done this for 152 years, and they, if this contract is not renewed, if the state doesn't renew them, you think of who will be hurt. Will it be Sunrise? Well, Sunrise doesn't exist just for its own purpose. Sunrise exists for the sake of children. So isn't it children that will be hurt the most if this contract is not renewed?
That's correct. So Richard, think about how Sunrise does their business. They go to churches and recruit families to become foster parents. They put them through, they do a great deal of vetting, background checks. These are safe homes. The worst thing in the world that could happen would be a child's taken out of one abusive environment and end up in a place where they're not receiving the best care possible. The folks that Sunrise works with, the families, they're motivated not by dollars, but they're motivated by James 1:27, that they're to provide care for orphans and widows, folks in distress. They believe Jesus would have them do it, so they're opening their home. Many of those families become adoptive parents. Sunrise has seen more than 600 children move from foster to adoption. just in the past 15 years. So it's always the children. Richard, I visited one of Sunrise's residential facilities. It's been a while back now. And this particular one worked with young boys, boys who were school age, as well as young high school age boys. These little boys had had the worst things humanly imaginable happen to them. And in most cases, from the hands of their own family members. When Sunrise received them from the state, which, you know, the state has custody of close to 10,000 children, but the state doesn't own a single bed anywhere for a child. They use organizations like Sunrise. When the state sends these children to Sunrise, they're protected, they're well fed, they're clothed, they're cared for, they're loved, they're treated with decency and respect. They receive the counseling that's needed. They receive a listening ear. Someone just invests in them. And these boys, through that ministry, have a real shot at a real life and, you know, potentially even a walk with God at some point. So the children are the ones, to answer your question, the children are the ones who are hurt by the state not working with an organization that operates at the level of Sunrise.
Todd, that's a really good point. Sunrise has done an outstanding job stepping up, ministering to the orphans who need help in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And they've done it according to their convictions. So those same convictions, by the way, that motivate to do this. And you mentioned James 1:27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That conviction that would compel the Kentucky Baptist Convention to engage and Sunrise Children to engage and to help minister to children in need, same conviction that gives them moral parameters by which to operate and by which homes they think are best to place those children in. And it's unfortunate, I think, that the state has gotten hung up on that aspect. They're missing the bigger picture of religious freedom. They're missing the bigger picture of religious conviction and conscience rights. And they're missing the big picture, too, of how children are harmed. The truth is, Todd, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but there are other child placement agencies, foster care agencies, and adoption agencies in the state that if an LGBT person or somebody else that Sunrise couldn't work with for whatever reasons, could they not go to another agency to adopt or to foster a child?
Yeah, Richard, there are no shortage of options. No person is being discriminated against by the state if the state works with Sunrise. There are multiple options. And if a couple calls Sunrise, a same-sex couple, and says, we want to foster, we believe we're at a season in our life, we want to do this, feel that we should, then Sunrise will say, we're not going to be the best fit for you because of our religious convictions, our Christian convictions, by the way, but let us help you find a place that will be a fit for you. And then they'll go to work helping that couple or individual. So no, there's no genuine discrimination happening from the state in them working with Sunrise. Folks who want to foster and adopt can, but Sunrise, because of their Christian convictions, defended by religious liberty in our country, they're just not going to be the best fit for every couple or individual.
No, that's a very good point. Are negotiations going on between Sunrise or the KBC? And let me take a step back here first before I ask that. So the Kentucky Baptist Convention is connected to Sunrise. It's an affiliate ministry. Tell us how that works, first of all.
Yeah, so Sunrise is an agency of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, which means that KBC churches, 2,360 of them, help fund the ministry of Sunrise through the cooperative program. That's our giving mechanism that funds ministry and missions all over the world. And so in the state, Sunrise is one of the agencies that's funded partially by the Convention of Churches. The funding provided by Cooperative Program through Sunrise is not enough to sustain all that they do. Richard, they're all over the state. I mean, caring for 1,000 children, some in residence, therapeutic care, as well as foster adoptive services. That's a huge organization. And so the funding they receive from the state, your listeners may understand this. I'm not sure all do. There may be a sense that folks think, well, is the state giving Sunrise a grant or giving them a block of money? No. Sunrise receives funding in a similar way that the electric company or the water company receives funding. They provide a service that the state needs, and the state pays for that service. So when they help a child, that child has some financial attachment just to care for the needs of the child, make sure he's food, fed, clothed, et cetera.
No, that does help. And so if this contract, just so I understand, Todd, if this contract is not renewed, that the relationship between the state and Sunrise is severed. There's no more referrals to Sunrise from the state, nor will Sunrise be able to help those children, which leads to my next question. Where do these children go? It's about 1,000 children that are helped by Sunrise last year.
I think it's a very fair question. The first answer is they're going to be cared for by Sunrise. Sunrise has never abandoned a child. They're never going to abandon a child. Richard, you mentioned the contract. This negotiation, one of the headlines from one of our news sources in the state indicated that Sunrise was walking away from children, refused to sign a contract. Couldn't be further from the truth. Sunrise has documented more than 20 attempts to reach out to the cabinet to have a conversation about the contract. No return phone calls, no return emails. There's no good faith effort on the other side to work through this contract, which Sunrise would expect there to be, because they've been able to with every administration prior to recent administration prior to this one, given the former Steve Beshear administration, Patton, the Bevin administration, Fletcher administration, all have been willing to find a way to work with Sunrise because they're a valuable partner providing care. So wherever the children go, they're going to be cared for by Sunrise. If the state chooses not to partner with Sunrise, Sunrise has been around for 150 years. They've been through a lot of administrations. My guess is if Jesus is slow in returning, they'll be around for a whole lot more years. Folks value their ministry, and folks will try to help them.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson with the Commonwealth Policy Center, here with Todd Gray, Executive Director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, here with Todd Gray, and we are talking about Sunrise Children's Services. Todd, just before the break, you had mentioned a misleading headline, and this was in the Louisville Courier Journal last week. This is what it said: Baptist group refuses Kentucky state contract to provide care for abused and neglected kids. So that was not accurate, what they had stated there. It made it sound like Sunrise is refusing to provide care, refusing the contract to provide care for abused and neglected kids. Put a finer point on that and explain really what happened.
Sure. So the interesting thing about that is I spoke with a reporter and shared our perspective. And she added, so the article came out, I think, online, and then it was added to as these living articles that continue to receive updates and information. I think the article kind of laid out the story in a somewhat fair-minded way. It added some things to it that maybe weren't pertinent to the contract issue, but the headline was, I think, definitely, you know, maybe we're trying to sell some newspapers. I can't speak to motivation, but it sure appears that Sunrise wasn't interested in children. And again, Richard, couldn't be further from the truth. If our governor or Secretary of Cabinet were to reach out today to Dell Suttles, president of Sunrise, or their legal counsel, those guys would drop what they're doing this minute and drive to Frankfort to sit down for a conversation about this contract. And they can't even get an open door to have a conversation. So it's it comes across very disingenuous. The article is definitely misleading, indicates that Sunrise doesn't care about children, which could not be further from the truth.
To add to this too, what you'd mentioned just before the break was that Sunrise Children's Service executives have reached out to the Cabinet for Families and Children on at least 20 occasions, maybe more, and they have not gotten a response back.
All documented, the number of times they've reached out. I won't say there's been no response, but there's not been a consistent, any kind of consistent conversation from the Commonwealth, from the Cabinet. you know, I pray for elected leaders daily, as I'm sure you do. I value them and try to show the best respect that I think the Lord would have me show. But that becomes very frustrating to people when we have folks in office that are put there by the votes of the people. And man, we can't even get a conversation with them about something as important as a ministry the size and scope of Sunrise that's helping children all across the Commonwealth.
Todd, previous administrations have worked with Sunrise. They have had that religious freedom exemption in there, both Democrat and Republican administrations. So what's changed? Has the facts changed regarding Sunrise? Is it the culture that's changing? What has changed between in the last year or so that would cause the Beshear administration to refuse to add that religious freedom exemption in that contract?
Yeah, I mean, our culture is obviously shifting. You speak to those issues all the time. I think Dr. Mueller said it well in an article when he spoke up on behalf of Sunrise, that our governor had mentioned possibly a federal law required this contract. There's been no new federal law that relates to this issue. In fact, I think we probably have some laws that would defend a group like Sunrise, even a Supreme Court case that's being considered right now. Our elected legislature in Kentucky has tried to put some provisions in the budget that defend an organization or prevent discrimination against an organization like Sunrise. So the only thing that's changed is the person currently in the governor's mansion, who I pray for daily. And on this matter, I pray he'll have a change of heart about working with Sunrise. I believe there's still an open door where he could. I think there are ways that he could. For some reason, and I can't get into his mind, he's just not been willing to work with this faith-based group that operates out of a place of deep Christian conviction.
Todd, would you be willing to sit down with the governor or with his cabinet agencies if the door was open, just to have a dialogue? And I, by the way, I know you personally. I consider you a friend and a brother. I know that you're not argumentative. I think you're gracious in your conversation. The reason I say that is I wonder if those on the other side of the political aisle might fear the conflict or confrontation. I know that's not you, but if that door were open, would you be willing to sit down with the governor and his administration?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would join Dale and their legal counsel and be more than happy to. If I could have a conversation that would help bridge this gap that maintains Sunrise's deeply held, sincere Christian beliefs, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we just want to see him ministering to children. We have no desire to be embattled against an elected leader. I mean, Richard, all honesty, they have the monopoly on children placements. They hold the cards in their hand, and if they choose not to operate with Sunrise, the only thing that's going to change that is an outcry of public opinion. That's the only thing that will, along with the prayers of the people of God on behalf of Sunrise. But certainly, we would love to have a conversation with them.
Todd, you'd mentioned prayers of God's people. Is there anything else that churches in the Commonwealth of Kentucky can do to encourage the governor to reconsider and to include that religious freedom exemption?
Yeah, so phone calls, letters, and emails all make a difference. Richard, I know the governor's office has been flooded with phone calls from Kentucky Baptist and others. Sunrise ministers primarily, or as an agency of the Kentucky Baptist Convention, but they work with other strong and large churches in the state of Kentucky. So they just have a ton of support. They call the governor's office, the number that's listed, if you just look up ky.gov, governor's office, you'll find the contact information. There's an email form that can be used on that same website to reach out to the governor, just asking him to open the dialogue, to renew the contract with Sunrise. Certainly pray for him. Richard, we did have this happen. So KBC put out a request for prayers and calls to the governor's office. Folks were doing that, but at some point, those calls started being transferred to the Barclay Lodge in Cadiz, near where we used to live. So folks were calling the number that we were giving out for the governor's office, but at some point they started reaching Barclay Lodge, which I'm sure frustrated the folks at Barclay Lodge as they're trying to carry out their business. But I think that's been corrected. And so if you call the governor's office, you may have to wait to talk to someone. You'll need to leave a message on his line, but just respectfully saying, you know, please renew this contract with Sunrise. There are lots of organizations in the state that do foster care. I'm sure they're also good. I don't know them like I know Sunrise, but I know the motivation of Sunrise. I know why Dale Suttles is in this business. He cares for these children. Sunrise cares for children, and they want to see them receive the best care. Richard, children who have been abused, neglected, mistreated, gone without food, had cigarettes put out on their arms, just treated horribly, left to sleep and live in squalor. When those children are finally removed from that environment, man, we want them to have the best experience imaginable. I believe that happens through Sunrise. I believe that happens when couples and even individuals who feel called to pastor, when they're sitting in a church pew and they hear a Sunrise representative or a Sunrise video, or they hear Dale Suttles, but at some point they start hearing God speak to their heart and God calling them to minister to children through foster care and go through the training, make their home, make the adjustments in their home and their life that they need to make. Those are the kind of families that we want caring for these needy and neglected children. That's all we're asking for, is keep that door open, include Sunrise in the list of groups that provide care for children.
Todd, and I think that's a reasonable request too. So we need to pray. Phone calls can be made to the governor's office. Emails can be sent to the governor's office. How about maybe a message from the pulpit from pastors? Have you encouraged pastors to speak on this issue? Maybe the broader issue of religious freedom and Christian engagement in the public realm, because this issue underscores the importance of Christians being aware of what's going on as far as public policy and politics, but then working to preserve and to defend fundamental rights like religious freedom. But would you encourage pastors to perhaps speak on a broader context of religious freedom?
Certainly, Richard, and we've provided a number of resources to pastors, a short video that lots of them have shared or sent out through Facebook or to email through their group. But just, you know, in the last 10 years, even 20 years, we've heard this cry for tolerance. You and I have lived through this, and we're living through it now. And I think Christians are generally respectful, realizing that other people have other views and other positions on various matters. I think that's what tolerance amounts to, is showing respect. But it seems that tolerance should be shown for Christians as well, that believers who have deep religious convictions from the Bible, that there should be a place for them in our society also. And when I see this kind of action from our elected leaders, I think maybe in their mind there's not a place for Christians or for churches.
Todd, that's a good point. We're going to have to end right there. So good to have you joining us in the program. God bless you. We'll be praying for you and for Sunrise Children's Services as well.
Thank you, Richard.